Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. You can come up. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And on to the topic of talking about the devotees in the UK, some memories. First of all, before this session, I'm going to read a relevant section, okay, I'll just read something briefly and then I'll go on and I'll read the other thing. This is a quote from Jaiva Dharma of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He stated that people generally tend to have more esteem for great personalities after their death and in contrast be even neglectful of such personalities while they live. So that's what I was saying when I started this series of talks, that when a Vaishnav passes away, I'm talking about in our ISKCON world, then there are all kinds of nice things written about them, and then we often hear that, well, why didn't we say that while they were still with us? So in that spirit, I started this series of talks, talking about the devotees I remember from the early days of my ISKCON life in England. So with gratefulness to them for guidance and association. You may say, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was talking about great personality. They weren't great personality, they were ordinary devotees. Well, it's just like we said, Bhagavad Gita, it's beginning spiritual knowledge, but it's very high knowledge. So even if we say ordinary devotee means great personality. Far greater than any. Now, when there's elections going on in India, what a waste of time. I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to give a lecture about that. Waste of time. It's more than a month in the election process. Huh? 2 months? Almost 2 months. And in the meantime, the governance, there's no governance going on.
EC will say, huh? Of India, they will rule.
No, but there's no discussion in the parliament or anything, everyone's busy, right? Although, there was some political breakdown, and for more than a year they didn't have any, and the country just ran on anyway. Who was that Sikh president? What was his name? No, president. Gyani Jal Singh, yeah. He told Dr. Damodar Prasad Nene in Vadodara. Maybe I'll quote it later. Well, anyway, I'll say now. That Dr. Nene told me, because he's a political writer, Hindutva-type writer, Nene, Marathi, Brahmin. So he told me that he'd said to Gyani Zail Singh, that he'd spoken to him, he said, these are the things we need to do to improve the country. And he said, no, that's... What we need to improve the country is get all the politicians, line them against the wall and shoot them all down. Dr. Nene said, I'll quote you on that. He said, I'll deny it. So there you go. So the Vaishnavas are great personalities, and I'm going to go on speaking about them. Now, my first 2 years or so, 2 and a bit years, Britain, my early days in Krishna consciousness. I'm just remembering some little things about the devotees there at that time. Yashoda Dulal. Nice name, huh? Yashoda Dulal. Among all the brahmacharis in the temple, he had a unique and difficult service. He was a pujari. What's difficult about that? They're all brahmacharinis. They're all brahmacharinis. He was the only brahmachari doing it. I don't know how he got into that, but somehow he was. And pujari means, often it means late nights and early mornings. And it just happened to be his bodily constitution that he was a deep sleeper. So he'd do his late nights and early mornings, but he had service in the day also. But then he'd be resting. And once he was resting, it was a bit of the Kumbhakarna bhav. In the meantime, the head pujari, who's a woman, wants him, so she's trying to get someone, tell him to get up, he has to wake up, come on, he has to wake up and take a bath and get on the altar. And then she couldn't find anyone, she'd be calling up the stairs, Yashoda Dulal, Yashoda Dulal, and it's difficult service. I should say, I said at the beginning of this series of talks I wouldn't be talking much about the Matajis, but mostly because I really didn't have much to do with them. But I must say, we've heard a lot about the mistreatment of women and everything in ISKCON, in the early days of ISKCON, but I don't know because I'm not a woman. But as I remember, in that Berry Place temple, we brahmacharis, we didn't talk about the women devotees, but my impression is that we had deep respect for them because they're serving the deities, and everything we're doing is for the deities, and they're serving very devotedly. And the head pujari, Leela Shakti, she'd been there for several years. She was serving so well. There's some other, I don't remember their names or much about them. There's one, Krishna Vaishya, and they used to say Krishna Vaishya, and they thought it was some funny name like prostitute or something like that, and then later on discovers Krishna Vaishya, who's absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. And the only thing I remember, much later I saw her, but in those days was that the Sunday feast, which is the great treat for all the devotees throughout the week, and she'd put her plate on the stairs, steep stairs, so I come charging down the stairs, and I didn't see it because it's, you know, I'm not looking at each step, and I put my foot in it, and she wasn't very happy. He put his foot in my prasada. That's all I remember, sorry. One time one sannyasi came, which is a big treat for the brahmacharis when a sannyasi came. They didn't get sannyasi so much. He said, lead these really, really heavy kirtans. We were used to having lively kirtans, but led really very, very heavy kirtans. Then one evening he was giving class. It was very, very heavy class about women, and we all knew that. I mean, we read Prabhupada's books and everything, but like I said, we had respect for the Matajis there also. And after the class, one of the brahmacharis asked, well, aren't we supposed to see women as our mothers? And then he said, no, you're supposed to see them as tigers sucking your blood, dragging you to hell. So I just remember we didn't feel too happy about that. That was my impression. Back to Yashoda Dulal. He was learning Bengali, living in London, which we didn't know anyone who knew any Indian languages, apart from the few Indian devotees who were there. I don't know how he did it. Somehow or other he taught himself, and he was reading Jaiva Dharma. And in those days, we never even heard of Jaiva Dharma. So that was quite an achievement that he did that. Another aspect was he had these, have you ever seen nunchuckers? You know, have you seen that in Australia? It's two pieces of wood joined by a chain, and it's used as a weapon. And if you know how to use it, it's used in karate. So he was expert in that. So being in central London, we had all kinds of crazy and often violent people who come in, and Yashoda Dula loved it when some when some crazy or violent person came in, because that would be an excuse for him to get out his nunchuckers. And he was good. You have to be expert to use them and smash them with it. And it's really heavy. You could kill someone with it. I mean, not that often, but that was one of his things. Great, great soul. They're all great devotees, and that's why I'm talking about them. Now, I was asked in the last time I spoke that you were asking about the classes, and I was saying I used to say the classes are very serious, not a bunch of jokes. But there was one devotee, Hari Krishna Das. I'll tell you about it. He's actually from Holland, and as he first introduced to him that he's the Tamil president in Amsterdam. It's a big thing, being a Tamil president in a major city of the world. But then he came to live in England, and he's super intelligent, and he gave classes. They were funny, but they were funny in such a way, not just making you roll over laugh, but just his insights about how crazy and stupid the material world is and the karmis are. And I heard from him first time, one of his classes, that sex is bringing two urinals together. It's actually, Prabhupada said it, so you can't blame Hare Krishna. But that was, you know, that kind of graphic analogy was quite common in those days. But I remember hearing that from him. Very bright, very funny, and very heavy classes against atheism, Mayavad, great, very philosophical. Again, I remember him in Kirtan, very blissful in Kirtan. Great personality, no doubt. But apart from saying that, that's a general impression I have there of him, like that. Now, I've spoken quite extensively on Prabhavishnu, but that is in written form. I spoke it and then it was transcribed, and it's in written form. And I spoke about Raghubir, who's now Bhakti Chaitanya Swami. I don't know if his disciple... One of his disciples asked me once, and I spoke something. Someone somewhere may have the recording. I don't remember that much about him. It's a bit of more high class than most from New Zealand. But I see if you can find that, and then I won't speak it again. Two devotees who are very highly regarded from Britain, if you include Ireland as Britain, British Isles. That I won't speak about now, because I'm talking about my first 2 years, were Mahavishnu and Tribhuvanath, who's from Ireland, and Mahavishnu's from somewhere in England. Now, I'm not going to speak about them, even though they're great personalities and famous, because I didn't see them in those. I saw Mahavishnu maybe once. He was in Edinburgh. He had a temple. I remember he came down once, and guess what I remember about him? His blissful kirtans, which he's continuing up to the present day. He's 70 something years old, and he's still traveling around the world doing kirtan. All glories to him. But I didn't see him in that time. And Tribhuvanath, when I joined, he was already in India. I first met him in India. So I'm not going to speak about them. Now, another devotee who went on to get international, or he became an international, was Bir Simha. I also didn't see him much. I think he was in New York. He's in that early film. I think it was the first film, the Hare Krishna people, the Hare Krishna people, the first film made by Yaduba. He appears in that film in New York. So he's now Bhakti Vigna Vinashana Narasimha Maharaj, and he's preaching in China, Malaysia, and he's just the same now as he was then. I did meet him in England also. Very solid, straightforward, humble, down to earth. Householder devotee who is at Bhaktivedanta Manor, Jai Lakshman. And what I remember about him is a very sober person. I believe he was the treasurer at one point. And what I remember especially about him was that after I'd been in the movement a little time, they asked me to give classes. So time to time I'd give some classes. And I remember he, although he was physically older than me, had been in the movement quite some time more than me, and was... what you would call he was a young man, but an English gentleman type. And here am I, this little kid. But I remember he would listen very attentively to my classes and very respectfully. And that struck me. That struck me about him. And I don't remember much else about him except his smiling and happy face. Then Dhanavir Maharaj, not from England, he's from California, but he was brought in by Jayatirtha, who I'll speak about. Jayatirtha became the GBC, and Dhanavir, Vanacharya at that time, means he was married, but he had left his wife. And he was brought in to start the Bhakta program. There was no any idea of any Bhakta program when I joined. You joined, like I said, they didn't seem to know what to do with me when I first joined, and then they just sent me into, I was at Bhaktivedanta Manor, just outside London, and they sent me into London, and they put me with the, first it was record distribution, but that changed quite soon to book distribution, thank Krishna. So then Dhanavir, I was his assistant on the Bhakta program, because I couldn't go on book distribution due to the some health problems. So some things, well, many things I remember. Of course, I remember his, again, kirtan. And same then as now, very serious approach to Krishna consciousness. He was, by the system he set up, they were able to, they had a system for making devotees. Otherwise, it was just people, someone joined, they come in and say, I want to join, okay. And if not, there was no system. But they had a system. They had this temple in central London, they'd bring people in, they'd preach to them. Young men who were interested, they would send them to Bhaktivedanta Manor. And then they would train them, look after them. So I was his assistant in that. And he insisted to me, no daytime sleep, which was tough for me because devotees would be chanting Hari Bol up until someone would come in, you're just going to sleep, and then someone comes in late at night, Hari Bol! In ecstasy at 11 o'clock at night, and then you wake up and then you just go back to sleep, and then someone else, Hari Bol! And then you wake up again. And then starting at maybe 2:30 in the morning, someone else says, Hari Bol! And so, a lot of ecstasy, but it can be difficult to get your 6 hours sleep. So I took that seriously. And then after about a month of assisting him on the Bhakta program, Raghubir, who I just mentioned, woke me up 3 times during Guru Puja. I was standing up in Guru Puja and falling asleep. One time he asked me, why are you chanting? Why are you chanting now? You should have chanted your rounds during the... So yeah, I'm chanting some extra rounds because sometimes I'm not so attentive He said, no, you just chant 16 and do service. Don't chant extra rounds. I'm not... If you don't give proper attention, when are you going to give proper... Then you'll be chanting all day if you think I have to chant every round with proper attention. Something like that, he told me. One time at Bhaktivedanta Manor, summertime, remember I'd quoted that from Prabhupada, when the sun shines in England, it's very nice. And Rancha Prabhu gave the title of his book, When the Sun Shines. So it was one, we're taking prasad, midday prasad, outside on the lawn at Bhaktivedanta Manor, and suddenly, spontaneously, Dhanavir calls out, "This is Vaikuntha!" I mentioned that to him a few years ago. I don't remember. He introduced the 6 o'clock apple crumble with milk because he thought we got to give the new people who join something nice, prasadam, because it was pretty austere, mostly. So we got to get, so every day that was something, apple crumble, not a Western preparation. In the beginning, there were a few doubts about it, but then it tasted so good that the doubt soon vanished. And he was surprised at me because I didn't take it, because I thought, well, maybe I can get, I'm with all these new bhaktas, maybe I can get some time to do a little reading. So he was surprised at that. I just take milk at night, later. Okay, now I'm going to read something again from Srila Prabhupada about Raghunath Bhatta. Raghunath Bhatta. Srila Prabhupada writes, although a Vaishnava preacher may sometimes criticize others, Raghunath Bhatta avoided this. Even if another Vaishnava was actually at fault, Raghunath Bhatta would not criticize him. He saw only that everyone was engaged in Krishna's service. That is the position of a Mahabhagavat. So that position is not to be imitated, the position of a Mahabhagavat. Now, you might be surprised that in this series of talks, I'm talking all good things. I'm not talking bad things. There may have been some bad things also. I'm not talking bad things. The good things, that's the Swarup Lakshana of the Jiva, is to be a devotee of Krishna. And the bad things, the Anarthas, that's just Maya. So... It's not real in the sense that the good qualities are the real qualities. So now I'm going to talk about, I'm saying this because I'm introducing this at this point because I'm going to talk about Jayatirtha, who, if you know the history of ISKCON, maybe you don't know, he was one of the original 11 gurus and he fell down very badly and he's passed away now. But I didn't see that side of him because I'd already gone to India before all that happened. So I'm going to speak about the good side of him, which was very good. And whatever happened later, it had a very serious effect on the movement, but that's ultimately between him and Prabhupada to sort that out, not me. So my memory of him... My first memory of him was that we were in Mayapur for the Mayapur Festival, 1976, first time I'd been to India. And we heard that we had a new GBC. The GBC meetings had recently been concluded. And he came to meet us, the English devotees. And just, we were staying in these rooms on the wall. So he came to see us. Now, maybe not all the English, but there were a few brahmacharis there. I was there, Satyavak, Janananda. I mean, just a few brahmacharis. And we were mostly involved in book distribution and this and that. So he came. And he just sat on the floor, maybe just on the floor, or maybe with someone put a chadar. So immediately struck by that he took the trouble to come and see us, with, you know, some insignificant brahmacharis, and he's the GPC. And he was very humble, in the sense that, not that he was not this gushing humility, but he was naturally nice to people, very nice and considerate of them, and encouraging them in Krishna consciousness. And actually, by his becoming the GBC, he brought in some men, and with no disrespect to the previous GBC, Hansadutta, it was a difficult situation, but Jayatirtha was able to bring in some men and get the whole situation. He turned the situation around, actually. It was, and the movement, it started to roll, you could say. Money came in. The major problem was shortage of money. So he picked things up and got everyone enlivened. Again, I don't remember that many things individually. Just a few things I remember personally. One time with Darshan with him in his room. No, this must have been after I came. When I was visiting, no, that must have been when I was visiting. Shortly, 79, that must have been. So I won't mention that, because that's... one significant thing I remember is that he'd been to visit Srila Prabhupada. This 1977. He'd been to visit him in Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada wanted all the devotees to go and visit him, but we weren't told that, but the GBCs went. And he came back, Jayatirtha said, and in a class at Bhaktivedanta Manor with a big class. That means that Sankirtan devotees were back from traveling Sankirtan. And he said that Srila Prabhupada has appointed 11 GBC members. I'm not sure if they're all GBC, 11 anyway, leading devotees. And they will give initiation on Prabhupada's behalf, and it's understood, he said at that time, and that after Srila Prabhupada passes away, they will initiate themselves. That was before all the Ritvik controversy and all this and that. So that was the understanding of everyone at the time, and it's only several years after Prabhupada left this world that this Ritvik idea was dreamed up out of someone's fertile brain, as Prabhupada would use that saying. But that's something significant that he said there. Not that the Ritvik Vadis would accept any such thing as any kind of evidence, especially coming from a demon like me, who's a guru. The worst thing you could possibly do, according to them. Just one thing I remember, he was a good pujari, and actually the pujas, the arati standards, everything increased under him. When I joined at the manor, the deities, they were being given garlands of leaves from the garden, because they couldn't afford flowers, and apparently Prabhupada said that's all right. But Jayatirtha had been in Los Angeles, where Srila Prabhupada set the standard for deity worship, and to the present day is very high standard of deity. There are few places in the world where Prabhupada, especially Los Angeles, set a high standard, but they've kept a very high standard since the 1970s. I can mention Los Angeles, of course, Mayapur and Vrindavan, London Bhaktivedanta Manor, then London Berry Place, which is now Soho Street, and Melbourne. I'm not sure what's going on in New York, but those are a few places I can think of where it's been very good deity worship. Excellent, as Krishna should be served for many years. So, the deities were getting very small offerings. He made very big offerings, and big offerings of, in the morning, lots of sweets, milk sweets, whereas they were just being given just a few previously. And after a few weeks, maybe a month or 6 weeks, they had to make all new dresses for Radha Gokulananda because everyone had seen they'd put on weight. You can see the photos. They put on weight and the dresses didn't fit anymore, and the atheists won't believe it. To hell with the atheists. So he made the deity worship very nice. He was an expert pujari. Prabhupada wrote a letter to him that you're an expert pujari and you're good in business, therefore I like you. And when Prabhupada came to England in 1977, I was already in India, but he said, I'm going to take shelter of Jayatirtha, because you go to take shelter of a Tirtha, right? Mm-hmm. So he said, I'm going to take shelter of him. So whatever happened later, the Prabhupada said, I like him. Same with Bhavananda. You were in Australia. You must have heard so many things about Bhavananda. He really messed things up in a big way. He's a spectacular personality, so if he messes things up, he won't do it in a small way. He'll do it in a big way. That's Bhavananda. But Prabhupada liked him. You can say what you like. People don't like Tamal Krishna. Prabhupada liked him. Can't deny it. Anyway, I just remember he was setting up a yajna once, and then I wasn't looking in the temple room, and what did I do? I wasn't looking, and I stepped in the area, and that was the only time I remember him getting angry with anyone, was getting angry with me, because he'd set up carefully this whole yajna thing. We'd never seen anything like that before. It was quite elaborate. In those days, we didn't know any such things. He got quite angry with me. He'd taken so much trouble to personally set it up, and this idiot walks along and puts his foot in it. Talking about the deity worship there, Sulochan was one of the devotees. Well, I think he made the head pujari, but at least, I'm not sure exactly, but on Sundays he would do, the deities were supposed to open at 7:15 in the morning. On Sundays, it was more like 10 o'clock. Why? Because Sulochan was doing a decoration, and it was fabulous. Out of this world, he'd bring leaves and twigs and make a whole forest. There are still some photos from that time. And a waterfall, just something undreamed of at the time. Sulochan is also a famous figure in the history of ISKCON, unfortunately. He was later murdered. But I remember him as a friend in those days. Now, Jayatirtha's wife, we used to call her Manjulali, although I think it should be Manjulali, the name of one gopi. To us, very ordinary devotees, Jayatirtha was something like a demigod. He was very tall and very, very godly and sophisticated, but not at all puffed up. And his wife seemed to us, we didn't actually say this at the time, but thinking back, seemed to us to be like some goddess. And even Prabhupada actually said when they were married, he said, oh, the wife, she's very beautiful. So she was very beautiful at the time. She must be, I don't know now, she's older now. Beautiful devotee, heart is beautiful, whatever the body situation may be. So she used to come in the kitchen. I told you I used to cook a lot, and she was very beautiful, but we never, actually with all the matters, we didn't think like that. We just, very motherly. We used to think like that, and she was expert in cooking. And she taught us so many things to cook. I saw a video of her recently, and she was talking about Jayatirtha, and she's still, in her old age, she still loves him. Memory of him, he passed on. So like that. These are the memories having of these great devotees. these impressions I have of my early times in Krishna consciousness. Like I said, it's in no particular order. I'm speaking Gyanadas. He came, I believe he'd been in Africa. Then he came to England. He's from England. He'd been preaching in Africa. He was a Cambridge graduate, which was pretty unusual. It's pretty unusual to have any graduates at all, because most of the devotees, if at all they'd been to college, they dropped out before they finished it. So he was a Cambridge graduate. And unfortunately, the main thing I remember about him was that he used to have ferocious verbal fights with his wife on the stairs in Bhaktivedanta Mahal. That's mostly what I remember about him at that time. I think his wife's name was Lalita. She was from America. And no one said anything. They would go on. It was like a daily ritual. And no one said anything. He just walked past and it was see no evil, hear no evil, and all this kind of thing. One other thing I remember, one devotee came through, Riktananda, American devotee, and he gave a... Riktananda, that means someone who likes to be alone. And Prabhupada gave him that name because that was his nature. I don't know, sometimes Prabhupada gave the name and if he knew them personally or whatever, but it just fitted exactly. So Riktananda gave a class and it was... We had the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, we had the Krishna book, and in those books there's a lot about Krishna's pastimes, and especially in teachings of Lord Chaitanya, there's a lot of description of the beauty of Krishna. I was mentioning how Vichitravirya, he was very much fond of teachings of Lord Chaitanya, but mostly the classes were very philosophical, more Bhagavad Gita, like this. But Riktananda gave a class in which he spoke a lot on the descriptions of the beauty of Krishna and quoting many things, and Gyanadasa he was enthralled by that class. So, oh, I never heard such a wonderful class. So that just, I just remember about him, that's all. He accepted sannyas, now he's a sannyasi, he took sannyas from Bhaktivedanta Narayan Maharaj, and you see him from time to time. Nemi Maharaj, he comes to... last time I saw him was in Mayapur, in Tulsi Arati at ISKCON Mayapur, not so long ago. Madhu Sevita is another devotee passing through from Mayapur. He'd come from Mayapur. He was living in Mayapur and he'd come to get a visa. He's from Italy. He's a big man in ISKCON now. In those days, he wasn't. Of course, everyone's a big man in Krishna's estimation. But he's GBC, BBT trustee and guru in Italy, where he's from. So my first memory of him is him giving class, and of course with a strong Italian accent, and saying, in Mayapur everything is transcendental. Everything is spiritual. And he was mentioning the land, the trees, the sky. And I thought, wow, the sky. And I was trying to work it out. How can the sky be transcendental when, after all, the wind is blowing, and then when it's outside Mayapur, it's non-transcendental, and it comes into the region of Mayapur and it becomes transcendental. And then I just told myself, just shut up. Don't even think. It's transcendental. That's all. Don't think about it. Don't become a scientist. So I remember him saying that. And what I remember from his class, he was talking on and on about Mayapur. And, oh, Mayapur. The glories of Mayapur. And his own personal attachment to Mayapur. I'm not sure exactly how it happened, but he was in England for some time, and we were going together in the tubes, the underground trains, for distributing Back to Godhead magazines. So we were together. more or less for 1 month during the marathon, distributing those magazines. And I don't remember much exactly what happened, because during the marathon, you're not supposed to think or talk to anyone. You just distribute, that's all. You get up, you chant your rounds, you take prasadam, and then you distribute. And you're allowed a little time to sleep. And when you come back, you take a shower, and you can't get off all the dirt. The whole skin becomes black. It's so dirty down in the tube. Remember that in the tube? You come out, and it's all your skin is black, and ugh. Anyway, we distributed a lot of magazines. Later on, we were in Calcutta. He was in Calcutta and temple together and this and that. That's from England. So other devotees, the names that I don't remember much about them. I just remember their names and seeing them. Varaha Murti, Yamuna Jivana. Oh, Mohan, I've got written. Well, yeah, he was. He was at the manor. He'd take a long time to chant his rounds, and I was told it's because he was previously a heroin addict, which means pretty messed up. But he was a handyman. He'd repair anything. I wanted to get a tape recorder because then you could listen to Prabhupada's lectures, and that was quite a luxury thing in those days. It wasn't that everyone had a tape recorder. It was quite expensive. But he discouraged me. He said, no, you don't get a tape recorder. Half my day, every day goes in repairing everyone's tape recorder. he said, Brahmachari shouldn't have tape recorders. But he was the one, he lived in the boiler room, which was the only place in the building, apart from Mukunda Maharaj was allowed to have a heater, but it was the only place which was warm. So he lived in there. Somehow or other, he got it as his spot. So there was always Prabhupada lectures going on there. And he had about 6 tape recorders, and he was in the process of repairing them. So like that. And he's going on, he's still preaching, everything. Great, great personality. Ravi, I don't remember much from England. I saw him much later on in India, Bangladesh, Nepal. Yeah, but he was there. Narendra, he came back from India, and it was like he was starving, because devotees in India, mostly they would just get some rice which they couldn't digest, very fat rice, and even if they could get food which they could digest, they couldn't digest it either, because their stomachs were always upset. And he had a big body like this, and just I remember him at Berry Place, because at Berry Place some of the kitchen was underground in the basement, and on the ground level there's the temple, and with the temple room, as we'd call it. So generally we'd chant our rounds, japa in the temple, and then he would say, how can you chant japa when there's this beautiful smell coming up from the kitchen? Every day there's this Kulangana, another great personality, famous. She became famous as a great cook. Well, she was a great cook at that time, but she became famous for, she introduced these so many different kinds of sandesh, huge pieces of sandesh, at Bhaktivedanta Manor. But she used to cook every day. And one of the things was chickpeas. So she would, and then they soaked the chickpeas overnight and cooked them with jeera, cumin. So that smell, when you make the chunk, or the chaunce as they call it, that smell would come up, and Narendra, oh, how can you chant japa? He was protesting. He said, don't say it, it's not offered. So yeah, Kulangana, her famous cooking, famous feasts on Sunday. But we only allowed to have, I think it was 6 chickpeas, because Prabhupada said you shouldn't, so we'd count them out. 1, 2, 3, 4. Count them out. Mm-hmm. And then, and on Ekadashi, she would make it super plain. And the rest of the time, very opulent. So that was Narendra. And later on, Ravi told me he became a Muslim. I wonder if he followed the fast. Now it's Ramadan. It's not easy to be a Muslim if you actually follow. You got to get up early. You're supposed to do early in the morning. Get up early and five times a day. Or three times if you're a Shia. Sunni, they do five times a day. And the Ramadan, it's not easy, especially in Arabia. Can you imagine what it's like in Arabia now, the temperatures? And they have to fast all day, no water. Not an easy thing. So apparently he became a Muslim. Ravi told me later. Oh. Okay, I was talking about Baba Ananda. I remember him from England also. We'd never heard of him. Then all of a sudden he comes in, this sannyasi with a beard, thin, because he'd been doing chatter. He had a beard because he was doing chatter master, and strong, very strong personality, speaking very strong, very impressive, chanting 64 rounds and very strongly eating khichdi once a day. It was very, very impressive. So he was like some sensation. Like I said, whatever he does, it's spectacular. So that's what I remember of him from England. Harikesh came through. He wasn't a big figure in the movement at the time. He became very big shortly after that. But my one memory of him at that time is that I was alone with him in the office, one office, and I was talking to him, and he was a sannyasi. He'd been Prabhupada's servant. I think he just made him a GBC, or they're just going to make him a GBC. And he was talking with me just in a very friendly way, like he was my old friend, and you know, he's some big sannyasi, and I'm just a brahmachari. So that's what I remember of him. Very friendly and joyful and this and that. That's my memory of him. Another sannyasi who I made a big impression when he was in England, Guru Das. He had taken sannyas shortly before that. He took out a bus party in Northern Ireland, where it was practically in a war zone. And that became the brahmacharis who went with him. It was a great experience, great memory for them. I wasn't on that party. Not everyone could go. Everyone wanted to go. But I just remember in the Berry Place temple, underground, we had the kitchen is underground, the prasadam room is underground. And what did we eat off? We had this paper. What's the name of that paper? I can't remember the name. It's some special paper, which is wax paper, something like that. It's where we tear it off. It looks a bit like toilet paper. You tear it off and you make one sheet, and then that would be your plate. And you take it and throw the plate away. We didn't have much money. So that was for people who didn't have their steel plates. We'd have steel plates, but if people were coming through, or if someone stole your plate, then no one ever stole any copins. You know why? No one had any copins. You know why? Because it was all communal. No one had any socks, dhoti, maybe dhoti, you put your name on, but that wasn't a guarantee that if you put your name on it, that you put it out to dry, that you get it when you came back. Because we're all brothers and sisters. Well, we didn't use the women's clothes. But it was just, there was no place to wash clothes, let alone dry them. So you take it to the laundromat, and then it's too much trouble to sort it out. So you just come in, you just grab something, and that's how we lived. And socks, if you had socks, then when they were all mixed up in the laundromat, it's too much trouble to find which one goes with which one. So you don't waste any time, right? So you just grab one sock and grab another one. And that was famous, the Hare Krishnas. One's odd socks and this and that. So, just one memory of him sitting in the corner with a huge plate of prasad. He had a big body and huge, huge plate of prasadam. And a few brahmacharis were sitting around with him, and must have taken more than an hour to take prasad, because he was eating a lot. He was talking to us And he was just so nice and friendly and telling us stories of Prabhupada and Vrindavan. And that's just my memory of him from that time. I don't remember much else about him. Another Swami who came through, Pushta Krishna Ridha, came through from South Africa. Just I remember. Kalakanta made a big impression on us. He was with the BBT Library Party. He was there, and Mahakram, and I think they too came from America, and maybe Bhumadev or someone joined them. Bhumadev I mentioned before. Oh, one memory of me. He said to me once, "I'm going to enter a dark well," which was his way of saying, "I'm going to get married." So it made a big impression on us. They were going to the colleges, Oxford University, this, that, and selling books to the professors, sets of books, Prabhupada's, standing orders. You know, there was a completely a different league to our going hustling people on the street to get some pennies out of them and give them a book. So he made an impression on us. He's sober, serious, well learned in Shastra, gave very good class. By good classes means very philosophical, quoting from Shastra. Just one thing in particular, I remember he said that made an impression on me, because he was reading from the Bhagavatam first canto about Yudhishthira, and he said that we should never think that we can be on the level of the Pandavas in Yudhishthira. They're eternal associates. We should never think that we can come to that level. We'll always be their servants, so like that. Now, in one sense we can, because Krishna is welcoming everyone, but on the other hand, these are the eternal associates, and we'll always be in. So that was a point which, not that I was thinking I'd become Yudhishthira, but just it was an important point. It just stuck in my mind that he said that, that's all. Among the many, many things I must have heard him say, and others, but that just stuck in my mind. So, Hare Krishna, I'll finish here for now. And maybe one more session can have of this. Hare Krishna. Any question, anything? No. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Vancha kalpatarubhyas chakipas indubhyavacha. Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.